Turn up the volume and grab your notebook. It's time to live life consciously. Welcome to Conscious Not Crazy. I'm Corey, your host, and a parent just like you. I'm here to share from my own experiences as a parent and educator to help you better understand the why behind your child's behavior and to provide you with tools to end all of the exhausting and unproductive power struggles. So feel proud you took the first step by tuning into this podcast. I hope this approach to parenting changes your life the way it changed mine. Welcome back to Conscious Not Crazy. This is Corey. I'm your host, and I am so excited to be back here and to dive in to what I gave you a glimpse of on my first podcast. So tonight or today, or I don't know what time you're listening, it's nighttime here. I'm recording at night because that's when my house is quiet and my kids are gone. They're with their dad tonight. So we're going to dive into the why behind behavior. And this isn't just our kids' behavior. I'm going to talk about how it relates to our own behavior and why we feel the way we feel and why we react the way we react, you know, in our own lives. So let's talk about that. So first, we're going to talk about the brain. So you've got three parts of your brain, right? You've got your cognitive processing centers of your brain. They're up here, the prefrontal lobes. And then you've got your emotional state, which is right here in the middle. And then you've got fight or flight, which is your survival mode. So fight or flight is when your kid's having the tantrum, they're kicking and screaming. Guys, I remember walking out of Costco once and I was trying to push a cart and I literally had a kid under each arm. It was the most embarrassing. I was just mortified. Both my kids were screaming. It was a complete shit show. But I look back and laugh because everybody can relate. Our kids have tantrums. These things happen. But my goal is to give you some tools to keep them from going to that tantrum state. Because once they're there, they're there. There's not a whole lot you can do other than give them time. And that's hard when you're in a public setting. So if we can avoid that in those public settings, that's my goal today. I'm going to tell you right now, if your kid's in fight or flight, if you're in fight or flight, nothing good's going to happen. No conversations can happen. You can't think. You can't use the prefrontal lobes when you're in fight or flight. This is survival mode. Back in primitive times, it was to keep us alive. And still now, today, it's to keep us alive. It just looks a little different. But when a child is in the survival state or you're in that fight or flight survival state, there's no thinking happening. So nothing productive is going to happen. So what you need to think is time, time away. So once the body has had a cortisol spike, which is when you're in that fight or flight, it takes about 30 minutes for that cortisol to leave the body. So again, you just need some time. So let's talk about this. A kid just doesn't start in fight or flight, right? So something has to happen to trigger it. So you're in the Target checkout and your child's like, I want this. And they're pointing to candy and you're like, no, we're not buying. And in your mind, you're like, they don't need the candy or I don't want to spend the money on the candy, whatever it is. Because you know your kids that maybe this is a common thing they do. You can kind of see it before it's happening. So what we want to do is we want to capture the child before they go from that emotional state, I want candy, right? Immediate gratification, I want candy now. And nothing you can say can change that. If you say no to the child, if you say you can't have that, where do you think they're going to go? They're going to go fight or flight because they just care about the candy. Kids are egocentric. They want immediate gratification and they're not thinking things through. They're not thinking long term. It doesn't matter what reason you give them. They're not hearing it because they're not up here. They're back here now. They're emotional and then they're going to fight or flight. So how do we prevent them? How do we stop that? And this is with like the younger kiddos. How do we stop them from going to that fight or flight? It's like you acknowledge, you've got to start with, I notice you want the candy. Do you like candy? You've got to recognize and acknowledge and let them be heard. And they're going to be like, yeah, I want candy. You want to validate their feelings. And it's like, yeah, you want candy? Do you love candy? Well, I want you to have candy. But right now, mommy doesn't have money with her to buy that candy. And I know we have some stuff at home. So maybe when we get home, would you like to pick a different snack out to eat? And again, what am I doing here? I'm asking questions. When you ask anyone questions, they have to use the prefrontal lobes to answer. So they have to go to the cognitive processing centers of the brain. So by asking your child questions, but before you ask the question, acknowledging their want, their need, their desire, whatever it is they want in that moment, you acknowledge, then you ask the question. Because what that does is it takes them from the emotional state to the cognitive processing centers, but it's a two-step process. Acknowledge, ask a question. Questions are always good. So, and the answer could vary, but it's like, give them some power, but set the boundary. So as a parent, we're going to talk a lot about the importance of boundaries. As Brené Brown has said, and I don't remember which book, I've read so many of her books, the most compassionate people are boundary people. Boundaries are good. And remember, we're modeling the behavior we want our kids to have. So we want to teach our kids to have healthy boundaries. And you're going to use boundaries, or you should be using boundaries, in multiple aspects of your life, whether it be your career, with your kids, with your spouse, with your significant other. Boundaries are vital and they're healthy and they're important. So you're in the checkout line. I want this candy. Oh, do you want that candy? Is that your favorite candy? Do you really like it? What do you like about it? Well, we can't get that candy right now because mommy doesn't have the money for it. I only brought enough money to buy these things. Maybe you say that. Or maybe you say, well, we're not going to get the candy right now, but would you like to get it another time? Would you like to come back when we have more money to buy the candy? You want to sometimes too let them know that there's an opportunity in the future to fulfill that need, want, or desire. It might not be right now, which is great because it's delayed gratification, right? We don't want to always give our kids immediate gratification. You keep them thinking. You're not saying no, stop or don't. You're just saying not right now. And then you're giving them alternative solutions. And choices are good here, guys. And we're going to talk a lot. I'll probably have a whole podcast on positive choices. But choices aren't choice consequence. Do this or this happens. That's a choice consequence. That's not what I'm talking about. But give the child the feeling of having some power in this moment when they feel like, oh, I'm not going to get the candy I want right now. You're not going to get the candy you want right now, but would you like to do this or this when you get home? Yeah, we can't buy the candy right now, but it looks like you want something sweet to eat. When we get home, would you like to pick from the pantry? Would you like to pick from this or this to have a sweet treat? And then maybe we can look at getting the candy another time. Giving them choices gives them power. But you're creating the boundary for the choice. So that is really crucial. But again, we're going to focus right now on first acknowledging. So noticing what they want, their want, need, or desire, and then asking a question. Questions are awesome. And this works with adults too, or spouses. We want to get them out of that emotional state, up to the cognitive state, and out of that fight or flight. So it's very important. So let's say we don't do this. You're not going to do it right. So guys, I'm going to tell you these things and you're going to fumble through it, right? You're going to go try this on. You're going to be like, okay, I got this. You're going to be at Target in the checkout and you're going to be like, well, I did what she said, but it didn't work. Well, here's a couple things. Your kids know what you've always been accustomed to doing, right? They don't trust this new thing that you're doing. So that could be one thing. So, and again, repetition is how this works. And you're not going to do it perfect because you haven't done it before. So it's going to take practice from the implementation and practice for them to receive this new information because they don't understand it because it's different than maybe how you've talked to them before. It does work. It just takes time. Like anything good, takes practice and it's not easy. But in the long run, it will make your life easier. What's the quote? Short-term easy is long-term hard. So buying them the candy in the short term to keep them from having the tantrum, long-term, maybe unhealthy habits, always getting what they want, and they don't know how to cope when they don't get their way, right? Short-term hard, they might have the tantrum. It might not go well, but you stick to your guns. You don't buy them the candy. They didn't get that immediate gratification. And over time, they're going to learn that you're serious, that you are going to follow through, and you're going to stick to what you've committed to. What you don't want to do as a parent is cave under pressure. For fear, you cave under fear, right? Fear of being judged by the other people. I think one of my kids called me a butthead at the Target checkout once. I mean, did I like that? No. Was it triggered? Yes, because I was still taking things personal at that time. I've grown a lot since then, but I didn't react. I was like, it looks like you're not ready. Again, this is when I was fumbling and working my way through this process. It looks a lot different now, but we want to make sure we're connecting behaviors to consequences too. So that's one example. Now let's do another example. Your teenager, I'll give you a specific example. Your teenager's playing video games, right? They're like zombies when their face is on the video screen, right? And it's Fortnite and they can't, they just have to do this because it's like life or death. And no, we don't understand it, but it's important to them. So we have to recognize that it's all relative, right? Their frame of reference is their frame of reference. Ours is different because we're an adult. We've experienced more life. So we do have to have some understanding for where they're at, right? So my son was playing Fortnite with his friends and he needed to get off the game to get ready for bed. And I told you he's 15, get ready for bed. And he needed to pack his lunch and he struggles a little bit with time management, we'll say. And so he needs some extra support in that. And it's interesting because all kids are different. Whereas my daughter is ready to go. She's got basketball. She's at the door with her uniform, her water bottle, everything she needs waiting on you like, mom, are you not ready? And annoyed if I'm not. So he has different strengths. She has different strengths. Does that make one child better than the other? No. Do we want to identify him by those characteristics? No, because then you're just hammering those in saying, this is who you are. And those things aren't who they are as a person. We'll talk about that. But he's on his video game and I'm like, buddy, you got to get off. You need to get ready for bed. You need to take your shower because you said you wanted to take a shower before you went to bed. And can I make a 15-year-old kid that's bigger than me do anything? No. Can I make another human being, even a four-year-old? Can I make a four-year-old do anything they don't want to do? No. So here's what I want you to think. We can't make a child. We can't make a person. We can't make anybody do anything. So how do I get them most likely to choose, right? And how do I keep them from going cray-cray? And you're not always going to keep them from going cray-cray. So I set a boundary. I said, I notice you're not getting off your game. I notice you have this many things to do. If you choose to not, notice I said, if you choose, because who's he going to blame if I like unplug the game? He's going to blame me, right? But I'm saying, if you choose to not turn off or stop your game, I've given you multiple opportunities. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to unplug it. And I know you don't want it. Because that does mess up wherever you are in this game, even though I don't understand anything about Fortnite. Okay, so I give them actually a little longer than the 10 minutes because as a parent, I'm being honest, it's painful. I know it's going to happen when I unplug this game, right? It's going to be a complete disaster. He's going to flip his lid and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't. And then I feel bad. I'm like, I don't want to mess up his game. I don't know how this works, but I got to follow through, right? I've established a boundary. I've given him an option. I've given him a choice. If you can't handle making that choice, I'm going to help you by unplugging it. I walk in the room. I unplug the game. What do you think happens? He flips his lid. He's like, I hate you. And he was mad. He was telling me he's going to go live with his dad. And again, like I said, we're recently just going through a divorce. So he's trying to push my buttons, right? Fortunately, that I don't take personal. What I see and what I hope the point you can get to, what I see when my son does that, he's mad, he's angry, the world isn't going his way, and he's trying to manipulate. He's trying to make me mad, but I'm not mad. I'm like not witnessing the behavior and reacting to it. I'm looking at the why behind that behavior. If you can look and understand the why behind any person's behavior, you have a lot more empathy for it. You don't take it personal. Like they're doing that thing again. they're doing that thing because they're not happy with the way the world's going. It's not about me. He doesn't hate me. And so he throws his fit. He gets mad. And I go, I love you. I go, yep, that was hard. I didn't want to do that either. I didn't say a whole lot, though, because remember, if a person's in fight or flight, are they hearing anything? Are they processing anything? No, they're not thinking about anything. They're literally in fight or flight. So he's pissed. He's in fight or flight, having his own teenage tantrum, telling me all kinds of things. And I am just like, cool. I'm like, I love you. I'm going over here. Because I know there's no point in having any kind of conversation with them. He said something else hurtful. I said, I love you. Because here's the deal, guys. I love my kids no matter what. There's nothing they can say. There's nothing they can do that will change that. And I want them to know that. Because that's how I build connection and trust with them. So I go in my room. I am just doing my own thing, my nighttime routine or whatever, because I was getting ready for bed too, because it was late. And after I heard him rustle, and honest to gosh, I do not get triggered by these things anymore. That was not the case years ago. I was triggered. I had to really go in the other room just to unhook. And we'll talk about unhooking, but I had to go in the room to unhook from the behavior I was witnessing, because I was coming from a place of judgment with the behavior. Like, that's disrespectful. You're not going to talk to me that way. That's not what I'm doing now. I'm detached from the behavior and I'm seeing the behavior for what it is. The why behind it. When I can see the why behind it, I'm not judging it. It's not acceptable. I'm not accepting it, but I'm not going to have that conversation when he's in that state. So about 10, 15 minutes later, he comes back to my room, comes crawling. I'm in bed at this time. He comes crawling my bed and he's like, I'm sorry, Mom. I love you. And he gives me a big hug. And I'm like, it's okay, buddy. And then I ask questions. Well, what do you think about that? He's like, I should have turned off my game. I'm like, okay, do you think that was a good way to respond? No, I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I didn't mean anything I said. I go, yeah. How does it feel when you say things like that? When you're angry, does it make you feel bad? Or how does it make you feel afterwards? We talked about that. And what do you think you could do different next time? I could have stopped playing my game earlier. So he's now at a point where he's remorseful. He feels guilty for what he said to me. And what I say to him is, buddy, I love you. Like, I know you love me. There's nothing you could say to me that would change that. I'm confident in my relationship with my son. But what I'm going to talk to him about is, now, what could we do differently next time? How can I be helpful to you? So, and then I told him, I said, it's hard for me to come in and unplug that. I don't like doing that. I don't want to have to do that. But what I notice, when you say I notice or see when you're talking about a person's behavior, it's a lot less, there's no judgment behind it. You're just seeing it for what it is. I notice you struggle when it's time to stop the games. I notice. So what do you think we could do? What would be helpful? You also want to ask those questions so they can be part of the solution. So now we've had this problem. We've had this experience. There's guilt and remorse. So how can we not have this same experience again? What can we set up so we can do it different next time? And he saw that I'm going to follow through. So if I tell him next time I'm going to come unplug it, he knows I'm going to come unplug it. So consistency is key there too. But that's just a simple example. He went to the fight or flight, which is fine. The key is you remaining calm. Because if you go into fight or flight, now what are you doing? Like, they're yelling, you're yelling, nobody's listening, everybody's in crazy town, and nothing's accomplished. Nothing is being heard. Everyone's being hurtful. And then after that, both sides feel guilty. And no learning has occurred. The only way learning has occurred is if you give the child time, or the person time. Maybe you're in a fight with your spouse. Maybe you're in a fight with a boss or a coworker, whatever it is. That person needs time for that cortisol to come out of their body, calm down so they can have a rational conversation. And the same for you. You also, if you're triggered, if you're still new at this, you're going to be triggered if your kid says all these hurtful things. It is like a switch went off in me one day. Guys, it is the best feeling ever. And a book I recommend, I love this book. It'll be on my website, but The Four Agreements. And I love that book because one of the four agreements is Don't take it personal. Then one of the other agreements is all you can do is your best. Another agreement is never assume. And the fourth agreement is your word is everything. So your word, don't assume, don't take anything personal, and all you can do is your best. Just like I said in the first podcast, is just try to be better than yesterday. Again, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to tell you these things, these tips and tricks and tools. You're going to try these things and they're probably not going to work the first time because you're new at it. You haven't had enough practice. You're not unhooked. So it might sound a little wonky or a little funny. It takes time. It takes time. But I want you to think two things. Instead of judging behavior when you see it, another example, your toddler has a play date or a sibling, and maybe they built a big structure out of blocks or magnet tiles, right? And the other one goes and whacks it over, right? We're like, oh no, you can't do that. That's awful. Shame, judgment, and then we probably punish, right? That's traditional discipline. Think about this. What would happen if you walked over and said, oh, were you wanting to play with those? Positive intent. The expectations look different when we're talking about teenagers and toddlers because teenagers can articulate a lot more things. Toddlers can't. So we sometimes have to assume that might not be the reason they knocked it over, but we're going to have positive intent like, oh, did you want to play with the blocks too? Well, wow, I noticed you knocked their tower over. What do you notice about their face? Maybe it's their sibling or their friend. Do they look happy or sad? Yeah, they look sad. How would you feel if someone knocked your tower over? It looks like they worked really hard on that. What we're teaching here is to have empathy. And again, remember I said kids are egocentric, right? They're thinking about what they want. They're not thinking about that. So we're coaching them on how to see from another person's perspective in an age-appropriate manner. So again, saying I notice or I see is huge because it comes with no judgment. Asking questions gets them from the emotional state to the cognitive processing centers. And if they are in fight or flight, step away. If you're in fight or flight, if you feel, this is a good way to check yourself as a parent. If you're trying to win, whether it's your toddler or your 10-year-old or your teenager, you're trying to win an argument or win, like you think you're going to make them turn off a game or stop doing whatever it is they're doing. If you think you're going to win, you are in a power struggle. And in a power struggle, nobody wins and nothing good's happening. So step away. Just remember, it can never be bad or wrong to tap out, take a break, breathe, close your eyes. I used to hide in my laundry room, guys. I would go be productive with laundry, but I would like tap out and hide in my laundry room. I don't have to do that anymore. I just step away and go do whatever I'm doing. I'm like, no, we're not doing this right now. And my kids might be coming at me, especially my son. My daughter's less inclined. But my son, when there has been some kind of conflict or confrontation, will want to solve it right away, but he's still emotional. And I'll be like, you're not ready yet. Go take a minute. And I just don't engage. You just can't engage. Whatever you, and this is true in life, whatever you give attention to, whatever you focus on, you get more of. So remember that. Whatever you give attention to, whatever you focus on in life, you will get more of. So again, guys, let's keep those kids out of that fight or flight as much as we can. If they go to fight or flight, tap out, give them space. If they're younger, it's okay. I'm not a big fan of timeouts. They don't teach you anything, but a time away is okay. Mommy's not available right now. I notice you're not ready. There's a lot of different language we can use, but remember, if you ask a child a question, they have to go to the cognitive processing centers to think, to answer it. It keeps them from going to that fight or flight. Also acknowledging their want, need, or desire. So noticing or seeing the behavior or seeing what they want and redirecting. So thanks so much for tuning in again. And that is the why behind behavior. Have a great day.
Thank
Thanks so much for tuning in to Conscious Not Crazy. I hope you're finding comfort in knowing you are not alone. Parenting is hard and the struggle is real. I am forever grateful for this amazing community of like-minded parents striving to simply do better than yesterday. Until next time, keep on living life consciously. I can't wait to connect with you again soon. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and visit my website, consciousnotcrazy.com. All the details can be found in the show notes. Now go get back to the never-ending, exhausting, and yet most fulfilling job you'll ever do.